Good morning. Starting to get cold out. It's the kind of weather I like. 50 degrees all the time. So have you ever felt in life like everybody else has it together except you? You ever had that feeling? It's like everybody else has it going on, but for some reason I can't get it together. Well, I heard a story once of a ship that was sinking in the middle of a storm. And the captain called out to the crew, "Does anyone here know how to pray? Does anybody here know how to pray?" One man stepped forward and he said, "Yes, sir, I know how to pray." And the captain said, "Oh, that's wonderful. You pray while the rest of us put on life jackets. We're one short." Have you ever had one of those days where it just seems like everybody else has it going on? Well, this morning we're going to talk about one of the fruits of the Spirit, patience. When we're going through trials and circumstances in our life, it always helps to have an extra dose of patience. And we're going to focus on three different areas. First of all, patience with myself. I know for me, sometimes you see the way you want to be, and you see the way you are, and it gets discouraging. It gets frustrating that you continually stumble and have problems in the same areas. But we have to be patient with ourselves. Galatians 6:9 says, "Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." There is nothing wrong with just persisting in our faith. There is nothing wrong with just keep going. Pull yourself up by the bootstraps and just do what needs to be done. But you might say this morning, "Pastor, that's a good verse, but right now I'm not doing so good." So I don't want to keep doing what I'm doing. And I can't grow weary of doing good because there's some areas of my life I'm not doing good. Romans 8:1 says, "There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." If you're here this morning and you've accepted Christ as your Savior and you're trusting Him for eternal life, you have received the righteousness of Christ Jesus. He has covered your sins with His perfection, and you can stand righteous before God. It's not something we deserve. It's something we don't deserve. But it's something that God has given to us. So don't let Satan give you guilt and shame for what God has taken care of. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." So if you have some things in your life this morning that you need to get taken care of, do that. Pray and ask God to forgive you. But once you've received that forgiveness, don't let Satan hold you captive anymore. Say, "I've been forgiven of that." And forgive yourself and move on. And be patient with yourself as you continue to try to work and do the things that you know you're supposed to be doing. Secondly, we need to be patient with others. And that one probably was the given that you saw when I said patience, right? We know that we need to be patient with others, but that doesn't make it any easier. Because the other people are the ones that are so frustrating, not me. Psalms 37, 7 through 9 says, "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself, it tends only to evil. For the evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord shall inherit the land." How often do we get frustrated when we look at the world and we see people that are doing wrong things, but yet they're succeeding? Maybe it's a boss at work who's getting promoted, even though he's doing things that are against the best interests of the company. Maybe it's a president who works against the best interests of the company but got reelected, right? That can be very frustrating for us. And not that we've had a president in recent years that wouldn't fit that bill. But it can be very frustrating to see people on TV, movie stars, music people that sing and yet throw their life away. It can be very frustrating to see them succeed and say, God, why am I struggling? Why am I working so hard when these people are out there doing wrong and yet succeeding in this world? God says, do not worry about them. Because when you worry, it just leads to anger and to wrath. You know, I read on a Facebook message, it says, bitterness is a disease that kills the host. When we're bitter towards other people, it doesn't affect them at all. It just affects us. So don't get concerned about them, because they will be punished for their actions. He says, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord shall inherit the land. We have a great inheritance waiting for us. And we need to be concerned about other people, not being frustrated and angry. Ecclesiastes in chapter 7, verse 9 says, be not quick in your spirit to become angry. For anger lodges in the bosom of fools. He's saying that it's foolish to get so concerned about other people. Don't be quick to become angry. Proverbs 19:11 says, good sense makes one slow to anger, and is his glory to overlook an offense. That's a hard one to stomach. Overlook an offense? You gotta be kidding! I couldn't do that. Good sense makes one slow to anger. A woman was waiting at an airport one night. There were several long hours to wait for her flight. She hunted for reading in the airport's gift shop, bought a bag of cookies, and have found a place that she could drop. She was engrossed in her book, but she happened to see a man sat beside her, as bold as can be, and grabbed up a cookie from the bag in between. She tried to ignore and not make a scene. She munched at her cookies and glanced at the clock as the masculine cookie thief diminished her stock. She was getting more irritated as the minutes ticked by, thinking, if I wasn't a lady, I'd blacken his eye. With each cookie she took, he took one or two. With only one left, she watched what he'd do. With a grin on his face and a nice nervous laugh, he took the last cookie and broke it in half. He offered her half as he munched on the other. She snatched it from him and murmured, oh brother, this guy has some nerve, and he's quite rude. He never showed even polite gratitude. She had never known where she had been quite so galled, and she smiled with relief when her flight it was called. She gathered her stuff and marched to the gate, with not even a glance at the thieving ingrate. She boarded the plane, and she sank in her seat, then sought out her book, which was almost complete. As she reached in her bag, she gasped with surprise. Her bag of cookies was in front of her eyes. If mine are right here, she moaned in despair, then the others were his, and he was trying to share. Too late to apologize, she realized with grief that she was the rude one, the ingrate, the thief. So oftentimes we get so angry, but if we would just change our perspective just a little bit, we could have mercy on other people. So we need to be patient with others. But we also need to be patient with God. Patience with God is so important. And when you think, patience with God, why do I need to be patient with Him? He's so patient with me. What's there to do on my part? Well, patient with God is very important. Hebrews 12, 3 through 12 says this: "Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your own blood. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have earthly fathers who have disciplined us, and we respect them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, as it seemed best to them. But he disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, lift up your drooping heads and strengthen your weak knees." You see, God loves us. He's got a plan for us. And we aren't quite there yet. And so he has to discipline us when we do the wrong thing. He has to bring us into that sanctification, right? He's working on sanctifying us and bringing us to himself. And so when God is disciplining us, when we're going through tough times, we have to be patient. And we have to have faith and say, "God, thank you. Thank you for working in my life. Even though right now it's not very comfortable. Even though right now I'd rather not be in this situation. Thank you, Lord, for being concerned about me." Philippians 1:6 says, "And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." We are all looking forward to that day when Christ is going to return and we are going to be caught up in the air with him. So oftentimes, we want Christ to come back right now, right? God, come back and judge these people, these wicked people that are on this earth, right? And that's how David, we look at some of the Psalms, you know, and we can relate to that feeling. Judge these people. Take care of my adversaries. But God is waiting for more people to come to Christ. He is waiting for more people to repent and have salvation. And so we need to be patient as we wait for that day to approach. For our glorification, we're waiting for our bodies to be converted to a perfect body where we will spend eternity with God. James 5:7 says, "Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains." And 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." God is giving plenty of time for people to see him as he is. We know from Romans 1 that the creation testifies that there is a God, testifies that we were created and put here by a loving God. And we know from the Bible that he sent his son to die for us. We are here for just a short period of time. And when you compare all of eternity for the 6,000 years of history that we have here on this earth, the evil that will be here is just a short time. God will deal with evil. He will destroy it. And we will spend eternity with him. and we can't wait. But we have to be patient while we wait for our glorification, because God is being patient with those sinners who have not yet repented. You see, our patience shows our dependence on Him. Romans 8:25 says, "If we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience." Our faith in God, our faith in our future glorification, our faith in who God is and He sent Jesus Christ to die for our sins, causes us to wait for Him with patience. We're waiting on that day when we will be reconciled to Him. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans of for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." God has a plan for us. He has a plan for you here this morning. And He wants to give you hope. He wants to give you a future. Not for evil. God's not out there plotting about what He can do to you to get you to wake up, right? He's not out there, "Well, hey, Randy, maybe I'll give him a flat tire on Monday morning, and then he'll really be mad," right? That's not what God's doing. He's got a plan for us to bless us, to give us a wonderful future. But we have to be patient with Him. Now, what kind of patience is that? Are we sitting back and doing nothing and waiting for God to do His thing? No. We are actively working in what God wants us to do while we are patiently waiting on Him. Waiting to be interviewed for a job, a wireless operator, a group of applicants paid little attention to the sounds. Waiting to be interviewed for a job as a wireless operator, a group of applicants paid little attention to the sound of the dots and dashes which began coming over a loudspeaker. Suddenly, one of them rushed into the employer's office. And soon he returned smiling. "I got it," he exclaimed. "How did you get ahead of us?" they asked. "Well, you might have been considered if you hadn't been so busy talking that you didn't hear the manager's coded message. It said, 'The man I need must always be on the alert. The first one who interprets this and comes directly into my private office will be hired.'" How often do we get so busy with our lives, and we're so busy doing the things that we want to do or that we have to do for our work or for our family, that we forget to read the coded message from God that has all the things that He wants to bless us with? We forget to read it. We forget to read God's Word on a daily basis. We forget to pray and ask Him to bless us. We forget to tell others about how wonderful He is. Don't be like those other people that missed out on a blessing because they weren't paying attention. You know, when I was thinking about biblical examples of patience, there's a lot of them in there. A lot of people that were patient, waiting on the Lord to do His thing. But the one I can't quite understand is Noah. Because Noah, you know, he was alive before the flood. They'd never seen rain before. The water had come up from, kind of like a dew. That's how it was before the flood. So the water would come up from the ground like the dew in the morning. And so it never rained. Yet God told him, "I'm going to destroy this earth by water, and I want you to build me a boat." And so he said, "Okay, God, I'll build you a boat." And he started building it. And from the time that God decided to destroy the world to the time He did destroy the world is about 120 years. The time it took them to build the boat, we say from genealogies and different things that we can kind of deduce in Genesis, about 75 years it took to build the ark. How many of you if given a job by God, could do it for 75 years without ever seeing a drop of rain. People would come up to him, "You are crazy. You are ludicrous. You think God's going to destroy the world by a flood? It's never even rained." They didn't even know what rain was. It was only dew in the morning. And Noah's out there building this boat, this huge boat, a 3-story boat. How much faith would that take? A lot of faith. Thank you, Michael. It would take a lot of faith, a lot of patience, a lot of saying, "God, you better be right on this one, because I've spent my entire 75 years building this boat." And God came through. After he finished building the boat, he said, "Noah, get on the boat with your family. And in 7 days, this world will be destroyed." And he got on the boat, and the animals got on the boat, and he was saved because he had faith in God. And he demonstrated his faith with his patience. This morning, we need to be patient with others. We need to be patient with God. And we need to be patient with ourselves. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the awesome God that you are. Lord, we are so looking forward to spending eternity with you, to learning more about you that we can't while we're in this earthly body. But Lord, help us to have patience while we wait. We know that if we wait on the Lord, you will renew our strength. And Lord, we need our strength renewed every day. Help us to wait patiently on you, but not wait in a sense of idleness, Lord, but show our faith while we work, while we do the things that you have called us to do, but we're doing it because we believe in you and we're waiting for you to come and glorify us in the end with our new bodies, with our new life in you. Lord, without evil, without pain, Lord, you have a wonderful plan for us. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.